The scripture reading is from Luke chapter 13, and I'll be reading 1 through 9. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or there's 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and when he went to look for fruit on it, he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Blessings, Steve. Maybe listen well.
So, as has been mentioned, our theme this week is from earning to receiving. And I'd like to especially think about, especially the first part of that, as the idea of deserving. We often ask questions or draw a conclusion about who's deserving or who's undeserving. They deserve that, or I deserve this. And so we make those kind of judgments. And these questions were asked of Jesus. The setting here is Jesus is in Jerusalem, and the crowds are gathered around him. And someone brings up this story that about these Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. There's not much known about that story, but somehow it appears in the act of worshiping at the temple that Herod had come in and had some of these Galileans put to death or murdered there. It came up about these 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Were they deserving of that? Those are the kind of questions that were asked. We could take our own present day headlines and ask some of those questions. You know, the people of Ukraine, is there somehow, are they deserving of the suffering that they're experiencing? I remember back after 9/11, some people were preaching that that was God's judgment on this country for immorality in the nation. You know, trying to make discernment about who's deserving of the suffering that we experience. This past week, there was this tragic accident in Texas. I think 9 members of a golf team were killed tragically in this accident when a pickup truck crossed the road. In those circumstances, we can ask the question, are those people somehow deserving of the fate that they experienced? Or we look at our own lives and the things that we're dealing with. Am I somehow deserving of this struggle that I'm experiencing? Or maybe am I deserving of the blessings that I'm experiencing? There was a question in Jesus' day about this blind man. You know, why is he blind? Is it his sin? Is it his parents' sin? Why is he deserving of this blindness? Making confession about these kind of judgments. I don't know if you've ever done this, but sometimes when I hear about a traffic accident, I need to hear what happened and to try to make some kind of decision. Was the person deserving of it? It sounds terrible to say it that way, but were they driving drunk, you know, or things like that? Was there some kind of, was it just a tragedy, or was there some reason? But I have to know if someone was deserving of it. of his faith. But I want to suggest this morning that to ask the question, who is deserving, is the wrong question to ask. Often in Scripture, when people are mentioned as deserving something, it often has to do with death or judgment. Or someone's humbled because they think they're deserving and they're not. You know, Jesus tells those parables of the man who wanted to sit at the higher place at the table, the place of honor, but was humbled and asked to sit at a lower seat. The mother of John and James. Jesus, can my sons sit at your right hand and your left hand? I think they're deserving of those high places. The Pharisee who stood there in the temple praying while the tax collector is kneeling and begging for God's mercy, and the tax collector saying, I'm glad I'm not like that tax collector down there. And then he begins to list all the ways that he's deserving of God's favor. And in a sense, this guy down here is not deserving of that. So here in the Scripture, Jesus is answering these questions and thinking about, are these people deserving of their fate? And he turns it and he says, unless you repent, you too are deserving of the same fate. But he goes on to tell the story about the fig tree. And like we heard in the children's message here, for 3 years this fig tree doesn't produce anything. And I've been reading through the Bible, and some of the things I read through Leviticus and Numbers, thinking, is this ever going to help me, you know, my Christian life, all these details. But the one thing I read within the last week or two is when you plant a new orchard or fruit trees, it's going to take about 3 years till they begin to produce fruit. And then when they do, you take an offering to the Lord, like the first fruits, the first of this tree. In a sense, you're dedicating the fruit that's coming from that tree. And then it's like that tree is open for business. Then you expect that it's going to produce. So when it says 3 years here, this isn't 3 years, I believe, after planting the seed, but it's like 6 years. For 3 years, we've been expecting that it's going to be producing, and it's not. What does it deserve? It's wasting soil, according to the story. It's deserving of just being cut down, and we'll start over fresh with this soil, with a new plant. But we see grace entering in here, and we'll get to that in a minute. But when we're focused in our life on earning and deserving, whether that's for ourselves or for others, where does that leave us? For one thing, it can leave us feeling unworthy. You know, I've made a mess of my life. I know what's right, but I just can't live up to it. I'm just not deserving of God's favor. Or I don't deserve people's respect. You know, we have that sense of unworthiness because we haven't lived up to the standards that we've set or that we see in Scripture. Second thing is kind of on the opposite end of that, we can have a false sense of accomplishment and self-righteousness. April and I were at a banquet this week, New Person Ministries, and it's a ministry for ex-offenders, of transitional housing for them, and ministry as they're making that transition from prison to back into society. And there was testimonies like you'd expect from these men of how God's been gracious to them, how the ministry has benefited them, realizing the mistakes they've made and how they're trying to repent and move in a different direction. But I was more taken by some of the testimonies of those in leadership or on the board who shared. And their testimonies were, you know, it was so easy for me before to look at men coming out of prison as undeserving of my favor. And the one person said, when they were first getting involved, someone said, someone asked, a resident here. And he was quick to say, no, 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 not me. You know, we can make those distinctions. I'm worthy of favor. Others are undeserving of favor. But their testimony was, the more they interacted with these men and the more that they were honest about themselves, they realized they too were people in need of God's mercy and trying to move in a more faithful direction, just like, and being inspired by the men in his ministry who were trying to move in a new direction. So just to say that we can, as we are living this life, our way of trying to judge our identity based on what we've accomplished or what we've earned, we can often have an inflated sense of our goodness. And it can lead to self-centered living, you know, where our life is all about what can I earn, what can I accomplish, how can I make a name for myself, and especially that my identity is wrapped up in what I've earned for myself. Maybe literally what I've earned financially, my financial state, or what I've accomplished in my life, how I've proven myself to God. And that's how I judge my life in this world and before God. And so that's the one question. Who is deserving? Am I deserving? But a better question is, what's being freely offered to me? And that's where I hope we would move from earning to receiving. Instead of asking the question, how am I earning God's favor? How am I proving myself in this world? How are other people proving themselves or not proving themselves? The question is, what is being freely offered to you by God? And this isn't like a message to say you don't need to earn your way or to be responsible in life, just freely receive. But a message of, how is God work in my life? How is the grace of God available to me? And how can I receive that and live into that grace? And so we have the fig tree here, and I like the display that Corey made, like these cultivating tools. This tree that was proving to be unworthy, wasn't earning, wasn't producing any figs. The gardener steps in and says, wait, let's be patient, let me invest myself into caring, cultivating, pruning, fertilizing this tree, and we'll see what happens after a year. I will offer my grace, my effort to try to encourage it to produce the fruit that it was made to produce. It's kind of odd that, as I was reflecting on this, that manure and fertilizer is depicted here as an act of grace, but it's this outside input that comes from beyond ourselves that is inputted there to allow us to have new life, to bear fruit, to be a new creation. We see the patience of God, and it reminded me of the words of Peter. Don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We see that really reflected in the words of Jesus here, this patience and this call to repentance, but a call for repentance that is saturated in grace. Often a call to repentance can sound kind of harsh, or like, get your act together, you know, turn your life around, you know, wake up, get right. But it's actually an invitation into grace. Come to me, receive my forgiveness, allow me to do my work of cultivating fruit within your life. And so repentance is this offering of ourselves, or stepping forward to receive the free gift of God's forgiveness in our lives. We enter into that grace and we leave behind our own self-efforts, our attempts to prove ourselves. We leave behind a sense of undeservedness. I don't deserve this from God. Whether we feel like we earned it ourselves or whether we're undeserving, we leave that behind and we receive the free gift of God's grace. And the Holy Spirit begins to be at work in us to produce good fruit. The way that John the Baptist talks about it, he says, bear fruit that's worthy of repentance. You know, you've come to me, John says, repenting, but now bear fruit. Allow the Spirit to work in your lives to bear fruit that's worthy of the repentance that you are stepping forward for. I heard from a speaker talking about repentance that repentance is not penance. Penance is where you do something in a sense to make up for what you've done. There's penance that can be involved in our repentance, but penance alone isn't repentance. We can do an act of penance and not have a change of heart. You know? Or he also said repentance isn't a change in our behavior, because we surely when we repent, new behaviors come out of that. But just a change of behavior doesn't mean that we've repented. If I act violently towards someone, and there's repercussions for that, in prudence I might say, I got to change my behavior. I can't do that again. Every time I do that, there's bad consequences. It doesn't mean my heart has changed. It just means that I realize that action is not helpful for me. But with repentance, there's a change, there's a turning of our hearts. We open ourselves up to something new. Our hearts are open to the Lord, and there's a new orientation to our lives. And so that seem as we bear fruit that's worthy of that repentance. Just want to make a comment again about Oshetta Moore and her messages to some of us in recent weeks. We heard some good message from Carl McKinney and from Oshetta Moore about racial justice, and just feel like we can't just leave that behind, but I want to try to keep commenting on that along the way. But what I appreciate about her message as she spoke to me was there was this invitation as an African-American woman to me as a white man to join her in the work of love and justice. Not shaming me into that, but inviting me into that as a brother and sister in the Lord and being part of the beloved community. And so I felt a lot of hope in that. What I also liked about what she said is it's not just our interpersonal relationships where we want racial healing. You know, it's easy for me to say I get along well with people of other colors, of people of other races, in my work, in my neighborhoods, wherever. But she also challenged me to think about more of the things in society and how I shouldn't be silent with my words or my actions when I see injustice. But what are the ways that I might be able to contribute as part of the kingdom of God and a child of Jesus? I found this quote from Mitzi Smith as she commented on this scripture from Luke 13. She said, God anointed Jerusalem and its leaders to be good and just towards its citizens and its neighbors, to embody and be bearers of good news. It's something that the prophets hammered away at through the centuries. In other words, to bear good fruit. And Jesus is saying, you're not bearing good fruit, as he talks about this fig tree. But she goes on to say, we too are challenged with the same thing, to represent what is good and to be faithful in the kingdom of God and to bear good fruit. A living wage for people. Being advocates for affordable living and housing. That the incarcerated are rehabilitated and free, that the blind and otherwise diseased have access to affordable health care and clean water and sanitation, and that all forms of oppression are eliminated. So this challenge, not just me individually, but we as a people, bear good fruit in our lives. And we as a church are called to be bearers of this good news, to invite people into the grace that we've found in Christ Jesus. So that we, people who have found grace, who have moved from earning to receiving and living by God's grace and bearing fruit by His strength and by His guidance, that we would invite other people to discover that grace as well and to walk in that grace as we ourselves walk in that grace. That they would experience that merciful gardener as we experience that merciful gardener in our lives. And so when we make this transition, you know, instead of our ways, God's ways, our ways would be to wake up and say, what am I deserving of today? Or how can I earn my worthiness today? But the new way of being is to wake up and say, today's another opportunity to receive the grace of God, that He would grant me fruitful living this day by His strength as that patient gardener in my life. And so we wake up every day praying, give me today my daily bread. You know, not just what I eat or what I wear, but my daily bread today, that you give me the strength today, the nourishment I need to bear good fruit for you and for the kingdom. And so I'll just close with the words of Isaiah 55, one of the scriptures for today. It's this invitation to come and eat food that is free. There's no cost that is free. And it's not just food. It's all that nourishes and satisfies us for the ways of God. So listen to these words as I close from Isaiah 55. Let it be our invitation towards this movement from earning to receiving. Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. Amen.